You've got ideas, you've got ambition, you've got no time, or so you think. I'm Marissa Lonick, and I help busy moms with big dreams and no time. Join me each week as I dive into time management strategies, goal setting and achieving framework, and inspiring guests who are juggling mom life, work life, fill in the blank life. Dreams don't work unless you do, and just because you're a mom doesn't mean you can't still make it happen, whatever it means to you. Welcome to the Mama Work It podcast. Hello, mamas, and welcome back to another amazing episode of the Mama Work It podcast. I am so glad you're here. In case you're new in town to the Mama Work It world, I'm Marissa Lonick. I am the founder of Mama Work It, where we support women in the juggle of mom life, work life, wife life, fill in the blank life. I am the host of the Mama Work It podcast, as you know, and I'm a mom myself to four kiddos, ages 10, 10, 6, and 4. So I want to talk today about beating burnout as a working mom. Whew, it is a heavy and big topic that we are going to wrestle today, but it is one that is so crucial, so important, so necessary for this target audience, specifically the working mom, because I think out of all the demographics out there, the working mom is one who hits burnout a lot more frequently, more quickly, more easily than others. And not to say that other people don't experience burnout, of course they do, but the stats are there. The stats are there. Working moms are really suffering when it comes to this area of life. And so I want to share with you on today's episode 5 tips for beating burnout as a working mom. Now, I've been, as you know, I am a speaker. I do a lot of speaking engagements at different organizations or at different conferences. And one that I've been asked to speak at quite a bit recently has to do with the sandwich generation. Now, you may find yourself in the sandwich generation. You may not right now. I did not identify personally as part of the sandwich generation until last year. Until last year, one phone call changed everything for me. So I feel like I am kind of part of that now. I mean, not, maybe not as intensely as in, you know, a few months back or whatever, but yeah, being a caregiver, being part of the sandwich generation, it's when you're caring for not only your children as a parent, but it's also when you're caring for maybe your parents as their child. So these tips could be extremely helpful if you're finding yourself in that place. A lot of what I talk about on today's episode, I presented on when I talked to these various companies recently on this particular topic. But also, some people who attended this presentation, this seminar, were not necessarily part of the sandwich generation. They were, and I say just in quotes here, air quotes, because it's not just an easy job. They were just working parents. Like, they were only half of that sandwich. And yet they found all of these tips so relatable, so helpful, because being a caregiver, no matter who you're caregiving to, can be exhausting. In fact, when I opened up this presentation, the first thing I asked was, what does it mean when you hear the word sandwich generation? And almost everybody on that call was saying these negative words like stressful, stress, tired, exhausting. And I think as a working mom, you can probably relate to some of those consequences, those negative consequences that you may be feeling either right now today as you're listening to this episode, or you felt them yesterday, or you felt them last week, or you felt them last month. But they do creep up on you, these negative effects of being a caregiver and a professional at the same time. You know, they say that working parents, or excuse me, they say that parenting, being a mom, is the equivalent of 2.5 full-time jobs. That's what they say. Now, if you are a working mom, either working for an employer, working for yourself outside the home, add another like full-time schedule to that, that's 3.5 full-time jobs. How is that supposed to make sense? Like the math ain't math in here, right? So it is pretty easy to hit that point of burnout. And how you would hit burnout, just an FYI, because most people who are in burnout don't actually know they're there, they don't recognize it, is if you feel chronically stressed, like you're stressed all the time, you're likely in a phase of burnout right now, or you're approaching one. Because the thing about stress is it's not all that bad. Like a little bit of stress in your life here and there is actually, can actually be a very good thing, because stress kind of sometimes invigorates you, motivates you, excites you. If you have like a challenging project at work or something you're working toward, and maybe there's a pending deadline coming up and you feel a little bit of that stress, like sometimes it can actually like burn a fire under your butt to like get it done and kind of stress you out just enough where you're making some really good productive progress. The problem is when you don't have the recovery period from that stressful time, right? So like you hit the stress point and then you come down and you kind of recover, that's okay. But when you don't actually come down and recover, when you don't allow your body, your mind, your soul to have that rest and recovery period, and you're chronically and always at that stressful point, that's a recipe for burnout. That's a recipe for disaster. So on today's episode, we're talking about tips for beating burnout specifically for the working mom. So I'm going to encourage you, if you are listening, if it is safe to do so, you might want to jot down some notes, take down some notes, remember these things. Writing things down is way easier to remember them and kind of reinforce the content that you're going to hear today rather than just listening. But if that's not possible for you, maybe you're on a walk, maybe you're driving, maybe you're doing something else. I listen to podcasts all the time while I'm doing something else. That's okay. You can always come back and listen again. But I would encourage you to make sure you're reinforcing the content from today's episode, especially if you specifically are finding yourself in a season where you are either approaching burnout or you're like, well, damn, maybe I'm already there. I want you to really reinforce this content somehow by taking some sort of action, whether that's writing something you hear down and then revisiting that, you know, a few days from now, or actually taking one of these tips and applying them. Because, you know, we all have these good intentions when we listen to these podcasts or we go to these presentations or seminars that we feel really motivated and jazzed up and energized right after. And then life happens and we don't actually take any steps or reinforce any of what we learned. And actually a week out from hearing that information, if you don't take any action or, you know, reinforce that content or anything, you're going to lose 75% of what you heard. Yeah, you're going to forget 75% of what you heard. So that's just me, my 2 cents in you getting the most bang for your buck out of our time here together is try to jot some things down if it's safe to do so, or come back and re-listen again, or take some applied intentional action on something you hear. Okay, so here we go. 5 tips for beating burnout as a working mom. Tip number 1 is not going to surprise you, I am sure, and it is about organization. Okay, I want you to get organized. Think about what stresses you out the most, what takes up a ton of your time, what makes you really feel like you are the hot mess express and not the mom and woman who has it together. Is that like the meals every day? Is that the routines in the morning or the evenings? Is that the communication with your significant other? What is it? But think about an area of your life where you could be a bit more organized. Now, I'm just going to rattle off some suggestions here. These may work for you. These may not. Maybe you already know what area of your life needs more organization, but this could be something as simple as, you know, going to the grocery store just once a week. Honestly, you don't know how many clients I talk to that don't have a system of going food shopping once a week. They food shop multiple times per week. They don't know what they're having for dinner any given night. They're stopping at the grocery store after karate or after soccer or whatever it is, and kind of just winging it day by day. And if this is you, if I'm speaking to you right now, Trust me when I say it will change your life if you simply put some organization into food shopping one time per week. And adding on to that is meal planning, like thinking about in advance for the week what your family is going to eat each night. Thinking about your schedule in conjunction with that. You know, if you know Mondays are a really challenging day, what can you do either in advance to prep something for that or a freezer meal or just something to be able to help minimize the stress that day in any way, shape, or form? And meals can typically be a stressful thing to add to your already very full plate. It could also be like having a set schedule that is shared with your significant other, not just something that you have access to, but that also they have access to. So whether this is like a shared Google calendar or a whiteboard in a place in your home where it's visible to all parties, but having a shared schedule, so a schedule to begin with, but also something shared with your significant other if you are in a relationship, so that there's some easier communication and information exchange in that way. It could also be routines for your kids in the morning, in the evening, or even routines for yourself. We've got some previous podcast episodes that are very popular, and they are about morning routines and evening routines for you, mama. And if you haven't listened to those, I would highly encourage you to do that, because having simple routines, and I don't go crazy with my routines, they are very simple, you guys, but having simple routines for your children, for yourself, are going to make your day feel more organized and less chaotic. So that is tip number one. It is more and all about organization. Hopefully you got some good ideas there, or I got the wheels turning for you on an area of your life that you feel you could be more organized in. All right, tip number two has to do with getting help. Now, for moms especially, I know asking for receiving help can be kind of challenging, kind of feel a little like outside our comfort zone, because let's be honest, society kind of has this expectation that moms do it all, right? Super mom, all the things you see, the memes, everything out there. And the bottom line is that's not sustainable. That's not feasible. And especially if you're juggling not just those 2.5 full-time jobs of being a mom, but also an outside job outside of that, a paid job, that is a lot to juggle. That is a lot to handle. So you need help, not just with caregiving and, you know, childcare and things like that, but like with a lot of other things, right? You need help with maybe laundry, house cleaning, driving, like carpools, maybe food shopping, like you need some help. So again, I want you to think about like what an area in your life is that takes up tons of time and energy or like stresses you out a lot that could easily be delegated, be supported by someone or something else. Usually there's an app for that. When I think about things that could be delegated, there are so many apps out there, so many services that you can be tapping into. And if you're listening and you're like, yeah, but what about the budget? This comes to mind. Let me just say, yes, I recognize that there have been seasons in my life where I did not feel I had the budget to outsource certain things. But when push comes to shove, when I really looked at the numbers, when I really thought about the cost versus the impact of what the investment in, let's say, having some support in cleaning the house would make for me, that was worth it 1,000%. Okay. The other thing I want to say is not all these things cost money. A carpool doesn't cost money. Like connecting with a mom friend and being like, you drive to baseball, I pick up from baseball, you drive to gymnastics, I pick up from gymnastics, whatever it is, doesn't cost you anything except that phone call and that ask. And guess what? That other mom is probably so freaking happy that you suggested this, because either maybe she didn't think about it, or maybe she felt awkward asking you, and you just opened up that door now to a really great win-win type of situation. So getting help with maybe caregiving, but maybe other things too, like all those other things that take up a lot of precious real estate in your very, very, very crowded mental load mom brain right now. All right, we're moving on to tip number three. Tip number three, no shocker here, has to do with self-care. I know. I kind of roll my eyes a little bit when I think about this because I feel like as moms, we tend to think like, self-care, who has time for that? Like, we're so tired. We're so exhausted. Like, the only self-care that comes to mind is like just getting a full 8 hours sleep or like taking an extra long shower or whatever it is. But the thing is, if you're at that level, and trust me, I've been there. I've been at that level where like self-care felt like 3 extra minutes in a very hot shower for me. If you're there, that you're probably past the extreme of feeling depleted when it comes to self-care. Like, you're probably where I was a while back, where I would try to put a band-aid on my self-care gushing wound that really required like 75 stitches at that point. And I was just trying to band-aid it up, and it wasn't working. I'd feel good for about 5 minutes, and then I'd feel just as shitty again the next day. And so we're talking about self-care in the sense of not just putting a band-aid and, you know, having a girl's night once in a while when you're ready to lose it and just venting the whole time and feeling a little bit better and then, you know, feeling like shit again the next day. We're talking about more of like a preventative self-care measurement here. Okay. So maybe if your form of self-care is connecting with your mom friends or your girlfriends or whatever, I want you on your next one to schedule the following one before the current one ends. Like, tell your girlfriends, we're not leaving here until we all take out our phones, pull out our calendars, and decide when our next one's going to be. Or you make it like a monthly thing, a reoccurring monthly thing. Just like when you go and get your hair done and they ask you about booking your next appointment, I want you to apply this to like all aspects in your life when it comes to self-care. Okay. Schedule your next vacation as soon as you get back from your last one. Book your next nail appointment at your current one. Block time on your calendar as a reoccurring event. And you can even just label it self-care. Then you just fill it in with whatever you need in that moment, but it's blocked and it's there. And it's kind of like we work around it. Because self-care is typically the first thing to go as a working mom, right? And I want to add, it will likely have the most repercussions and negative consequences. So, example, if you don't meal plan, you're going to figure out dinner. You're going to figure it out. It's not going to be the end of the world. I do think meal planning is really important and helpful, and it's changed my life. So I will say, I think you should do it. But if you didn't do it, it wouldn't have detrimental repercussions in your life. Okay. But if you were really not practicing self-care, if you constantly felt depleted, what's going to happen is you're going to end up snapping at your husband. You're going to end up being really impatient with your kids. You're going to get annoyed at work really easily, and it's going to affect your overall quality of life tremendously. So this one, again, like the first thing that tends to fall off the list, the self-care, is such an important one. It's such a weird like thing that it would be the first one to fall off, and yet it would have the most negative effect. So I want you to really treat this with a little bit more importance and value. In fact, a lot more importance and value. And I want you to prioritize this proactively. Okay. The fourth tip here on preventing burnout or beating burnout as a working mom is be more transparent. Be more transparent. What do I mean by this? I'm a pretty private person, believe it or not. I know I have this podcast. I know I have a blog. I know I have a business where I put a lot of, you know, working motherhood stuff out there and even personal stuff. But overall, like, I'm pretty private. And yet I'm also a big fan of transparency when it comes to stuff like this. And when I say this, I mean like transparency at work, transparency within your relationship with your close friends, like whoever comes to mind for you of people you interact with on a regular basis. That's who I want you to think about here. Because I think most people, I like to believe at least, most people have some level of empathy and understanding out there. And so if you're currently finding yourself in a really challenging working mom season, why not just be honest about that? Like, you're human, just like everyone else. And allow that humanity to come through and express some of that vulnerability. Because if you do it, I bet not only will it ignite some empathy and some understanding in those around you, but it'll also kind of create this comfort level for other people to feel comfortable and honest and open to be able to share that with you. And there's nothing better than feeling connected to people in that way. So I want you to think about, like, how transparent are you right now on a scale of 1 to 10? And is this an area that maybe you could or would want to explore being a bit more transparent to, again, encourage a little bit more connection there, ignite some empathy, just help people understand where you're at, where you're coming from, right? Knowledge is power. So being more transparent, you're just providing more knowledge there. All right. Tip number 5 has to do with getting some mental health support. So this could mean therapy. This could mean coaching. I'm a fan of both of these things. I've been to therapy before. I've worked with coaches off and on for the past 10 years. As you may or may not know, I am a certified intuitive coach myself. And I just want to say, working with trained professionals, receiving either therapy or coaching, it could be exactly what you need right now to support your mental health, to empower you to achieve your goals, even during a seemingly very busy, very challenging season. Okay. And this in itself, like going to therapy or hiring a coach and working with a coach, this could definitely help you get out of burnout if you're feeling that chronic stress or you're feeling like you're already there and there's just, I don't even know how to get out of here, right? So there's absolutely no shame in the therapy or coaching game. If you haven't been to therapy before, give it a try. What's the worst that could happen? Like you hate it and you don't go back? Okay, cool. If you've never worked with a coach before, I would highly encourage you, you know, either get a recommendation from a friend, maybe schedule a few introductory discovery calls, or I call mine a breakthrough call, where you just get to know that person. A lot of coaches will offer these for free. I offer one for free for 30 minutes. We get to know each other. We see if we're a fit. We see if we vibe, because you want to vibe with your therapist and you want to vibe with your coach if you're working with either one, and see if this is something that could really support you right now in this season. And I know a lot of moms listening will probably be like, God, I don't have time for that. I don't have resources. I don't have energy. But here's the thing. You make time for what's important to you. And your mental health should absolutely be important to you. Okay. I know I should not use the word should and should all over you for this, but I'm going there because I feel like when you feel good, you do good. Okay, when your mental health is on point, when you feel internally good where you're at with what you're doing, you're not in that burnout, stressed out phase, right? You are more motivated, you are more energized, you are more productive, you are more patient, you are happier. Like when you're feeling optimal, your output is optimal. So if you're feeling like the excuses are creeping in as you're listening to this, I don't have time, I don't have energy, I don't have resources, I don't have money for this. Where there's a will, there is a way, honey. Okay. So maybe this is part of your benefit package. Like you have mental health in your benefit package and you just haven't explored it. Check that out. Maybe this is an investment that you know is going to pay itself off and then some, because you're thinking about maybe starting a business, or, you know, you don't know what you want, but you know, this time spent with a coach is going to help you figure that out. And who knows what's going to come out of that. So maybe make that investment. Maybe your company even offers some sort of like educational stipend or wellness benefit. And that can be applied to either working with a therapist or working with a coach. There are so many creative options out there and ways that you can make this happen. And often we are standing in our own way. So I want you to really dig deeper if that's speaking to you, and think about what is getting in my way. And is that actually a block, or is that just a door I need to open, a place I need to explore that I haven't been before? So yeah, definitely look into that if you are looking to prioritize your mental health in this season. And I think really for anybody, Anybody out there can benefit from therapy. Anybody out there can benefit from working with a coach, but especially if you are in the challenging working mom season, this could be a really helpful tool and resource for you. And I'm going to drop the link this week to my free breakthrough call, discovery call, so that you can schedule that if that is something that is of interest to you. Would love to meet you if that's speaking to you. And I would really encourage you, like, find someone or some type of provider that could be a helpful fit for you if you are in this challenging working mom season and you're feeling kind of burnt out with where you're at. So that is today's episode. Those are my tips. Hopefully you found them helpful. What was your biggest takeaway? Let me know. Make sure you either email me or send me a DM on Instagram or let me know what's going on. And if you haven't already subscribed to the Mama Work It newsletter, I would highly encourage you to do that. We hit your inbox every single Wednesday with tips, tricks, stories, ideas, all this great stuff for the working mom. I would love to have you on that VIP subscriber list. You can register at www.mamaworkit.com. There are also some free gifts on there that you can take advantage of, and we can connect in that way. So thanks again for listening, and I will see you soon, mama. In the meantime, keep on working it. Bye. You've been listening to the Mama Work It podcast. I hope you've enjoyed this episode and would love if you could take a quick minute to leave me a review on whichever platform you're listening from, and maybe even send a note to a fellow mama friend recommending it. Reviews and recs help this podcast grow and reach more like-minded, awesome moms. And if you haven't subscribed yet, don't forget to click that button so we can stay in touch, girl. By the way, if you haven't checked out the Mama Work It website, please do. There are lots of free resources and great articles there that can help you with the juggle of work life, mom life, wife life, fill in the blank life. So head on over. Thanks again for being part of the tribe. I'll see you soon, but in the meantime, keep on working it, mama.